Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you after my 30-day trip into Italy. And what have you been doing since I have been gone? Now, the 5:30 seem a little uncomfortable with that. But I can tell you what you've been doing, because the priest, what he said was that you were a prayerful community and that you were holy people. And that is a high compliment, especially coming from a priest so well seasoned. I didn't know if I was. So he has seen many parishes and been in many communities. So to have a senior priest like him say, you have a prayerful community and people that are holy. And he would know because he's been around. So means that we're accomplishing what we're supposed to be doing. And we have much more to do. But what a great compliment. So 5:30 was like, oh, thank goodness. I'm not sure what the 5:30 people have been doing. my friends, on this occasion of Christ the King, we have much to give thanks and glory for, and I will go into my homily. But we have a new deacon in our parish, Deacon Mikhail El-Najjar, and his wife June. June, you're still here. Please stand. My friends, we welcome them officially as priests. Deacon Mikhail, they moved here to be with family, and in order for him to have faculties, what that means in order for him to minister as a deacon, he has to have a parish, perhaps being in ministry here. And after that conversation, I wrote a letter to Archbishop Sartin requesting that he be granted faculties to operate, to act as a deacon in our community. And that was granted last week. So we welcome you with great joy. My friends, this is good because our community is growing. We're at 1,300 families. And until we reach 2,200 families, I cannot petition the Archbishop to send another priest to help me. And that would, and just because we get to 2,200 doesn't mean I'll get one, because there may not be one. And then the Archbishop will say, who's paying for him to come? Well, okay, all righty. But until then we have deacons, and they are very helpful and wonderful for our community, and it was time for another one as we grow. I know Deacon Dale gets tired because he works a lot, and he's supposed to be retired. So we're very thankful. My friends, on this solemnity of Christ the King, it also brings our liturgical cycle to an end. Next weekend we'll begin Advent, and Advent will begin a new season. We will be in what we call Year C, and that's the year of Luke. And we have been in Year B, which has been the year of Mark. Oddly enough, we end this year not with something from Mark, but something from John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, he portrays this image of Christ that is very powerful for us when we really reflect on it, but not the kind of power that a world leader, a president, a king of the earth wields. His power is quite different. And we honor our Lord today thus as a king, and his kingdom is eternal. And the scope of that kingdom is universal. And the power of that kingdom is steeped in love. It's one of the reasons why John's gospel is being used. My friends, our first reading comes from the book of Daniel from the Old Testament. And it's a book that speaks to us today in very much the same way it spoke to the Israelites in the time of Daniel. The brutality of some of our political world leaders and the type of terrorism and terrorist attacks that happen in our time, the corruption in politics. And I'm talking universally. And in particular, the cultural can make each one of us think that maybe our world is out of control. And the prophet Daniel found himself in the very same situation. And what did he do? The prophet to find security. And most of all, he looked to God for salvation. Now, the images that Daniel puts forth for us envisioned represented those images and the atrocities that humanity is capable of, the horrors. In the end, Daniel saw not a kingdom, but an individual. He sees a man coming on clouds, and this man was from heaven, and he was going to right all things. And we know that man as Jesus the Christ, the anointed one of God. My friends, empires have come and gone. And I know I just came back from a 30-day stint in Europe, and there's evidence of empires that existed and empires that don't exist anymore. Empires have come and empires have gone, but Jesus Christ remains. His kingdom is eternal. Jesus Christ's kingdom in our time. This is a teaching that comes from Daniel's book also, that this kingdom is eternal and will endure always. Now, our second reading comes from another book that's filled with many images also, the book of Revelation. And that describes the anointed one coming in glory, that is Jesus Christ, the King. And there we are told, it's all people will lament him. And the reason why we're told that is because all peoples everywhere know sin. And thus, all will lament having pierced him with their sin. All the sin of humanity put Jesus on that cross and nailed him to it. And that's why the book of Revelation says all people of the earth, all of them, will lament what has happened. The sin of all humanity nailed him to the cross. So then sin also is universal. And yes, I experienced that when I was in Europe. Not as America, as the way some people put it. Huh? But if sin is universal, redemption also is universal as well. Our Lord died for all. There will be no other. And that's why the scripture says he is the Alpha and the Omega. There is no other venue of spiritual healing and forgiveness except through him. All economic force, all ancient prophecies and prophets from the world, all the holy men and women put forth from cultures, all of them combined cannot produce the spiritual healing and the forgiveness that flows from Jesus Christ and his grace and from his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone. And I will go one step further. All of those things that I name combined cannot match the force and resource of the Holy Mass and what flows from the sacrament of the Eucharist, because the Mass that Jesus made, our Lord's kingdom is then eternal. Our Lord's kingdom is universal. Universal enough to embrace and to heal and to bring forgiveness to every human person, however they may come to him. Because I understand, God is incredible, and he makes paths to him and to Christ in ways Christ. His kingdom is also very, very personal, because his kingdom, as he told Pilate, is not about land, it's not about you. It's not about your governance. It's not about riches, and it's not about military. Meaning us, the human race, back to the right relationship with his Father. This is the truth of Jesus Christ. This is the truth that he speaks about. His kingdom does not enslave, but frees. And Jesus says, my kingdom does not belong to this world. Jesus says then that the power he has is not that of this world. On high from his Father and from the very risen life of the Anointed One. Yeah, that's him. He's speaking about himself. When we are part of that, his words active in our lives, that means not just simply reading about him, but employing everything that he taught, everything that he continues to teach in our lives, then we truly will share in his kingdom and his glory. As Catholic Christians, I'm being very deliberate with the words, as Catholic Christians, because I cannot impose this on all Christians as much as I would love for them to do it. As Catholic Christians, our living of the sacramental life makes us stronger, makes us a part of that kingdom, even now. And as I'm putting forward to you, all the sacraments of the church instituted by Christ then become conduits of his grace. God can do anything that he wants at any time in any way. But he fulfills what his Son has said. And his Son to live holy lives and to draw into the kingdom. We, his disciples, can draw on that grace, on that resource now in this life to help us. And it will give us life eternal because they come from the one source of eternal life. My friends, his kingdom is not way out there somewhere. This morning I was watching the news and there was a whole bunch of hoopla about Mars. I'm like, what's the big deal about Mars? We're still on that. But sometimes children ask me, exactly, Father, where is the kingdom? And they always point to the sky. Is it in another universe? No. His kingdom is not out there somewhere. His kingdom is tangibly available through his church, here, now. And every human person has access to it and can be part of it. In this way, then, I say the kingdom is very personal and steeped in love. I encourage all of you to reflect on this truth and to look deeply at the shape of Christ's kingdom as he told us about it. Its existence is truly eternal. It is enduring beyond every human kingdom, every human empire. It will continue to the end of time and beyond as we understand it. Its depth and width is universal, so expansive that it can embrace every human being, whoever was, whoever is, and whoever will be. And its reach and its effects are so deep and so personal that it is able to encompass every human heart, any heart that opens itself to it. If you have been away from Christ, now you have the chance to begin to draw close and to unite yourself even more deeply to him. His kingdom and his grace, his truth are as close as the nearest Christian church. Does that come as a surprise? It shouldn't. That grace, that life, is as near as every sacrament administered by Mother Church. That grace is available at every Mass that is celebrated. The power and the peace and the love of Christ the King is here now. However, the entry and the embrace of his kingdom is up to you. He does not impose. He simply offers. Well, friends, as I opened with, our reading today ends with John. And John love. And he speaks about a particular truth. And John has the fullest description of what happened at the Last Supper. The other Gospels have it, but John has it in great detail. And he tells us what Jesus said in the course of that evening in detail. What went on there and what was said centered on love. I give you a new commandment, love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, John 13:34. Based on that, then the badge of the Christian is that of love. In today's gospel passage, Jesus tells Pilate that he came into the world to witness to the truth. And Pilate asks him, what is that? What is the truth? Each one of us is the truth of God's saving love for us. For it is written, God so loved the world, all of you, that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And for all of you sports fans, can you quote me the Bible on that? Tell me where it's found. What are the signs at the baseball and football games? John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's what you see, because that is the enduring truth. The kingship that Jesus attributes to himself then is the kingship of love. The kingdom of which he is the king is a kingdom of love. And according to the book of Revelations, all kinds of creatures, mysterious ones, but the kingdom is also presently inhabited by those who have been saved by Jesus Christ and by the workings of his Father's loving design to make that happen. You understand that statement? Here on earth, that kingdom reaches in via his church. Those who gather, who align themselves with his truth, who try and often achieve to love others as he hath loved us. My friends, there are different ways to understand the truth. The fundamental truth is God is love, from John's gospel. My friends, I had so much time to reflect and to prepare for this. I didn't get to preach when I was in Italy because I don't speak Italian. So I had plenty of time. I've been joking. I wrote 5 homilies for you. I want to leave you with something about John's gospel. When John says Jews, he not only means the Jew, like Jesus, meaning a nationality or a religion. In John's gospel, when he says Jew, he means everyone thought. What does Pilate say? What did Pilate say to Jesus? I am not a Jew, am I? Isn't that amazing? What does that tell you? Pilate was open. He was open to the truth. And then he caved. He caved by the pressure of his people, of what was an expectation of him as a political leader. Jesus gave him everything. I am not a king in this world. My kingdom is not in your world. I am no threat to you. He gave him everything he needed. He was right there. He was right there. We have work to do because we have many people in this world that are right there. And we need to drag them over. Not screaming. My friends, I leave you with this thought. The image of the criminal that was next to Christ at the crucifixion. And he says to Jesus, and I say it too, Lord, when your kingdom comes, remember me in that kingdom.